Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Answering the Call, offering a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of local priests, deacons, and religious. And now, Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hello, and welcome to Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820, and we stream live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. Now, it's one thing to want to be a deacon or a priest, and another thing to be called to the diaconate or the priesthood. These are the words of my guest today, Deacon Mike Hood, who comes to us from Our Lady of Lourdes in Ada and Immaculate Conception Parish in Kenton. They are cluster parishes. And Deacon Mike is here today to talk about how he was called into this special service for the church. So thanks for that was kind of a long ride you made in, by the way. An hour and a half, did I hear? An hour and a half. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming to talk about your story.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you, Deacon. And I like to trace my guests' roots back to the family that they were raised in to see, you know, what kind of faith life they had from the beginning. So, if you will, tell us a little bit about your Catholic family and where you grew up.
All right. I was born and raised in Marion, Ohio. I am the oldest of five children. My parents were very strong, I think, in terms of their faith. Mom was a cradle Catholic, and my father was a convert. Again, they were, I think, in terms of what they taught us, we always said prayers and before we went to bed and always before meals. Mass on Sundays was something that we always did together as a family. So, you know, those kinds of things. Mom worked as a parish secretary at St. Mary's for about 10 or 11 years while we were growing up. So we spent a lot of time associating with priests and so forth from the church as well.
So you liked Mass from early age on, even if it was early in the morning, it was okay.
I did. I can honestly say that it has never been a chore for me to go to Mass. When we were growing up, when we were younger, Dad used to like to go to early Mass, and it was, I think, at 6 or 6:30 on Sundays. And my brother Bob and I would often accompany him, and it was never a chore getting up for Mass. I think there's only one time that I felt like Mom sort of had to roll me out the door, and that was my senior year in high school after prom. We had a late night that night before Sunday and Mass, and she basically pushed me out the door to make the last, I think it was 12:15 Mass that Sunday. But Mass has always been something that I've always been drawn to.
And you went to parochial school. So how did that nurture your faith?
I think, again, going to a Catholic school, things like prayer, again, throughout the day, daily Mass. When we were younger in elementary school, we had daily Mass that we attended. Having the visible sign of nuns as teachers in the school, as well as the priests making frequent visits to school and speaking in your classes, I think those all help to instill the faith in us. And then I do think that there was a difference in terms of how people were treated, again, talking about religion every day in class, learning to pray the rosary, and I remember before lunch each day we prayed the Angelus and different things like that. So those kinds of things, I think, help you get off to a good start in terms of a solid foundation.
And like so many of my guests, you served on the altar as a boy.
Yes. At a very young age, Father Ewald was one of the assistant pastors then, and he was responsible for training the servers. And we had a serious indoctrination for those interested in serving. I mean, we had several weeks of classes in the classroom, and then we had a written test that we had to take. before you could even set foot in the church and the sanctuary in terms of, and the sacristy.
Wow.
In terms of learning that. But, I started serving Mass at a very young age and actually began as a lector probably in the sixth grade for early morning Mass.
So such a solid Catholic background with the family, the parochial school, serving on the altar. At any time in that point of your life, did you consider priesthood?
Not that I remember. I do remember Bob and I, my brother, saying Mass in our room, and you know, Mom would come, you know, to Mass. So I remember those sessions. We had to stop doing that when we left a candle burning one time and it caught the dresser on
Oops.
Fire. So that was the end of that. But I don't really remember feeling like God was calling me to the priesthood, but there was a feeling at a very young age that He was calling me to do something special. And I don't know that I could ever really put my finger on it until in later years.
Okay. So you had a calling that maybe something special, but wasn't quite the priesthood. So you get to high school. What were you considering with doing with your life at that point? What were you thinking? When I grow up?
My grandfather was a practicing attorney and a municipal court judge in Marion. This was my mom's father. And probably by the time I was a freshman in high school, I looked at becoming a lawyer as a way to help those people who couldn't help themselves. I always had a soft spot in my heart for people who were considered the underdogs or, you know, maybe weren't always the most popular people. There was kind of an attraction. Always seemed to be drawn to people that you know, just sort of seemed to be on the outer fringes. And so by the time I was a freshman, I had kind of made up my mind that I wanted to be a lawyer and go to law school. And that pretty much stayed true all through college and ended up going to law school after I got my undergraduate degree.
So what school did you go to pursue all that?
I attended Ohio Northern University in Ada, and they have a law school there. And actually got admitted into the pre-law program, and then from there was admitted into law school.
Okay. Now, you were married quite young, at the age of 20.
Yes.
That's so young. Tell us about your wife, Anne.
Annie is probably one of the greatest blessings that I've ever had in my life. I was a total wallflower in school. And she was probably one of the most popular gals in the school and just didn't know a stranger, very much like her father. To this day, she does not meet a stranger. And she's very outgoing, very gregarious. And anyway, somehow we started dating in our junior year of high school, and that continued on. And in the summer between my sophomore and junior year of college, then we got married.
And she was Catholic as well?
She was Catholic. Her father, Joe Kirby, he helped build Marion Catholic High School, was the first custodian that they ever had there at the school, and retired some 30 years later. But even after they retired, he and Edie, Annie's mom, lived on the hill in that house right next to Marion Catholic, and that was where they both lived until he passed away about 3 or 4 years ago, and Edie is now living in Mount Gilead in a assisted living. So
it was good that you both came from these strong Catholic families, but you know, I was just picturing, like, if I were your parent at the time, 20 years old seems so young. Were they okay with you getting married that young?
I think they were. I think the biggest concern that Anne's mom had was, and I think it's a typical concern, are you going to be able to, you know, make it financially?
Mm-hmm.
And actually things turned out fine. But I think they were just like another set of parents for me. I loved them like my own folks, and they've both of our families have always been very supportive of us. So,
we're talking with Deacon Mike Hood. He is the deacon at Our Lady of Lourdes in Ada and Immaculate Conception Parish in Kenton, Ohio. And he's our guest today on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. And I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. So, Deacon Mike, you graduated law school in 1981. Correct. And you began a career as an attorney in Ada.
Yes.
And meanwhile, you and Annie were members of Our Lady of Lourdes Parish, and you were beginning your family. So in what ways was your family similar to the families that you were both raised in?
Unfortunately, there was not a Catholic school in Hardin County or in Ada at that time. The closest school was in Lima, so it just didn't work out that our children were able to attend a parochial school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been a bit of a disappointment, I think, for Ian and I. But I think the solid foundation that both of us had in our faith lives and in our families growing up, we tried to share that with our children. They were involved. I think two of them were servers. We had a strong PSR program there at Our Lady of Lourdes. And I think just in terms of how you treat people, trying to share life lessons that your children experienced, you know, and of course we shared our life lessons, prayer before bed at night, prayer before meals, you know, staying in close contact with our families, because again, their grandparents were very, very important in all of our children's lives. And I think, again, the lessons from faith and, again, the strong foundation that they shared with Ann and I as we grew up were also shared with our children as they grew. And I think that had a very profound impact on them.
So strong family and very active in the local parish.
Yes.
He seems to be a common roots for the family that you were raising. So at some point, though, you know, you're pretty busy in your attorney practice, but you had a sense that God was encouraging you to do more. So talk a little bit about that.
There was that sense. I was active as a lector, a Eucharistic minister. I taught PSR for probably about 20 years. But I think it actually kind of culminated one Saturday when Deacon Jack Stahl, who was the first deacon in Hardin County to be ordained, he and I went to a men's conference down here in Columbus. And during the drive down, we began to talk about his ministry as a deacon. Ann and I had seen Jack and Rita. They actually had 6 or 7 children, maybe 8. But anyway, as when we were newlyweds at Our Lady of Lourdes, Jack and Rita were raising their young family, and we watched them as parents and their children grow in the church. And they were just a family that you really admired.
Mm-hmm.
and said, you know, we'd like to be like them, because Jack was an engineering professor at Northern, and Rita was a stay-at-home mom. But they just, in terms of not only being wonderful parents, but they were very active in the parish and in the community. And, you know, you see families like that, and you say there's something special about them. They were very strong in their faith. And so, anyway, he and I were talking about his ministry and role as a deacon. Of course, I had observed that over a number of years. And the things that he shared with me just, you know, sort of began to resonate and sort of started to, I think, make sense in terms of maybe that's what God was calling me to do. So, you know, we talked more over the years. He was very supportive. I began to talk to Father Dan Millizer, who was our pastor at that time. Father Dan was very supportive and encouraged me to pray about it and to really, you know, spend time in discernment about it. And as I did that, I felt like, you know, the diaconate might really be what God had been calling me to do beyond my vocation as a husband and as a father. So,
and besides your vocation as a husband and father and your career as an attorney, you were also pretty involved in a whole bunch of other things, too. You were busy.
Yes.
And well, that's one of the questions people have. I am so busy. How do I do this? How, you know, was that an obstacle to you? Like, well, Lord, okay, you're encouraging me to do something more, but gosh, I have such a full plate already. Because you were doing good things, community service. And
right.
So how do you tackle that issue?
Well, I think one of the things that happens is that there is a fairly lengthy period of discernment. And during that period of time, you know, not only are you discussing these things with your pastor, maybe other deacons, obviously your wife, you know, your family, that's extremely important to talk it over with them. But you spend a lot of time in prayer, and obviously one of the things I think you're asking is the timing right for me, Lord? You know, is this something that you're calling me to do? Because it was definitely attractive to me in terms of what I saw Deacon Jack doing, the role that he played, how he impacted other people's lives, how he shared things about his faith. But again, that's where I think it goes back to, you know, it has to be something that God is calling you to do, because, you know, it's not enough to want to do it. It really needs to be something that is a vocation that the Lord is calling you to. And I think you, in through prayer, through that period of discernment, you know, you're able to make that decision and know if it's something that God is calling you to do.
And let's talk about your wife, Anne, for a moment, because myself, I'm a wife and mother of four kids, and I'm trying to picture this from her vantage point. You know, here you were rather committed to work, church activities, you know, community things. Did she think you were crazy for wanting to take on more? Was she supportive? Where did she fall in all of this?
I think initially she was hesitant about it for a lot of the reasons that you just stated. And I think there was, because neither one of us, there was still a lot that I didn't know about it, and there was even more that she didn't know about the diaconate and how it worked and what was expected. But I think there was some fear of, you know, maybe biting off more than you can chew, how much time was going to be required of me, and how much time was going to be taken away from she and the family, because life was already very busy for us. And I think one of the things I can say about the diaconate program that was really, really comforting was the fact that early on, it was explained to all of those who were interested that this needs to be something that, you know, your spouse is fully on board with, because a deacon can't be effective in his ministry to others if he's not in a solid relationship, you know, with his spouse, with his family, you know. And the last thing that the church wants to do is to get you involved in something that's going to negatively impact your vocation as a husband or as a father, or, you know, whatever else you do in life.
I something you had said to me earlier in the week was that God doesn't just call a man to the diaconate, he calls a couple. And no one in the show has ever really said it that way, but I can really see what you're saying there.
That to me has been one of the most exciting things that I've seen in our life together. Not only through diaconal formation, but since I was ordained, it really has been a ministry of love for the both of us. And the things that I've seen in Anne, how she has grown, how God has called her to branch out into different ministries that she's involved with, in terms of sharing her faith and sharing her life experiences, has been a beautiful thing to watch. She has really, really blossomed in a lot of wonderful ways, and I think she recognizes that this has been something that God has called us to as a couple.
So, and that was really going to be my next question is, can you give us some specific examples of how becoming a deacon has blessed your family And it sounds like one of the things you just said was Anne becoming so involved in these different programs that she might not have done had you not pursued this vocation.
I think, honestly, she has become more outgoing in terms of wanting to share her faith with other people. You know, sometimes people go through their lives and they have this feeling that faith is something that's more meant to be private between you and the Lord. But I think in terms of evangelization, I think both of us have stepped outside of our comfort zones in terms of doing that. She's kind of taken on a couple of different ministries where she's doing things that she didn't do before I became involved as a deacon. And it's not that she didn't have a heart of service or a heart of love for other people, because she's had that since the day she was born, I'm sure. But it was just feeling called to do that and actually, you know, getting to the point where your faith is something that you're not content just to sit in the pew and listen to it. You want to take it outside the church and share it with other people. And she really has grown very comfortable in doing that. And it's been a real joy for me to watch her blossom in that way.
Well, that sounds like it's borne great fruits in your marriage. And you were ordained on November 29th, 2008, so that's 6 years ago.
Yes.
That you've been now in the ministry. What do you like best about the ministry, and what's most challenging to you?
One of the things I like best, but it's also one of the most challenging, is preaching. And it's not that I'm a great public speaker or anything like that, but it seems to me that what I have found is that being a husband, being a father, you know, having a full-time job, and when I'm able to preach, when the Holy Spirit, and I ask the Spirit to be with me all the time, but especially when you're trying to put together a homily, it seems like I've been able to come up with examples or things, stories, not only in my life, but that I think they resonate well with the people in the pews, because I think people find hope when they know that they're not the only one that are experiencing certain kinds of problems.
Right, right.
That all of us, if we sit down and talk about it, all of us have a lot of common things that we struggle with on a daily basis, challenges with our families, raising kids in today's world. All of those are very, very common problems. And when you can somehow reach out to the people and they recognize that, gee, I'm not the only one that's experiencing that, I think it gives them a sense of hope.
Sure.
I think it helps them to be able to share that with other people, and I think they find solace in that.
Do you find yourself kind of wearing your deacon hat when you're at work as an attorney as well? Do the lines blur sometimes for you?
They do, and you know, there are more opportunities than people might think for that. And again, in my work, a lot of my work, I'm dealing with people in very difficult times of their lives, the loss of a loved one, people with addictions, peoples whose families are being torn apart. Those are some very, very challenging times for people. And it does give me an opportunity, again, to share some things with them in terms of hope, in terms of faith, that you're not alone in that struggle. And it has shown me some wonderful rewards, just feedback from people. Some things have happened that God clearly is acting in people's lives, and it's very rewarding to see people be able to turn some things around in their life in that situation.
Oh, sounds like a good fit all around. And balance always seems to be the challenge for the deacons, balancing family, ministry, career. Any secret to the way you're keeping things in balance?
Well, thank God for a very loving and patient wife. Thank God for wonderful secretarial staff. And again, a family that I think is very supportive of what I do. You know, and of course, I think it's all comes down to God giving you the grace and the perseverance that you need to just meet each day head on in terms of whatever he has in store for us. But and again, I think wonderful, wonderful pastors and priests and just people that you surround yourself with. I have been very blessed to just, it seems like God puts me in the midst of a lot of wonderful mentors and people that inspire me to be able to try to do the right things and keep going forward. So it's all of those things, I think, help.
In the last 30 seconds we have together, Deacon Mike, what advice would you give men who are considering the diaconate?
I think it's important in terms of your prayer life. And again, you know, if ask God, you know, over and over, if you know what he has in store for you. But I also would tell men that, you know, there's a lot of way that you can touch lives, and you don't have to be an ordained clergy to do that. The ability to be a husband and a father are such wonderful vocations. And, you know, in terms of my own life, there's nothing greater than being a husband and a father with a family.
Oh, sounds beautiful. Can you leave us with your blessing, Deacon
Yes.
Mike?
May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you again, Deacon Mike Hood, for joining us today, sharing your story here on Answering the Call. This is Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for this program. Join us on Tuesdays and Sundays at 12:30 for another episode. Have a great week. God bless.
Answering the Call is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Then he said,